Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
We magnify your name. We thank you, Jesus.
I'll put you in front of my melody. You are all that matters. You are all that matters. I'll make room for two. You and I, Jesus. You are all that matters. You are all that matters.
Can you lift your hands, tell him, I'll make room.
I'll make room for two. Jesus,
and the reason is that's right. I'll make room for two.
I'll make room for two.
You and I, Jesus.
You and I, Jesus.
You are all.
You are all the mightiest.
Yes, Lord.
You are all the mightiest.
Away, away.
Come to realize
away,
you are all that
matters.
I've tried so many things,
away,
but I've come to only one conclusion.
You are all that matters.
You are all that matters.
Away,
earthly things have left
you
me try. Away, away, away. Come and make my heart your own. Come and be everything I am and all I know. Oh, search me through and through till my heart.
Everything I am and all I know.
and through.
Search me.
Cleanse
through and through.
Help me, Lord, till my heart becomes
a home.
Till my heart becomes.
Till my heart becomes.
Oh, yeah.
A home
for. Thank you, Lord, tonight. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for this evening, for tonight's service, for everyone who is here, plus everyone who is online at this material moment. We are grateful to you, Father, for your love. And thank you, Father, for the fellowship of the brethren. We thank you for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Tonight, as we have fellowship with you, we know that we will be blessed. And want to thank you, Father, for all that you're going to speak into our lives tonight. Be exalted in Jesus' mighty name. And let everyone say amen. Say amen again. Clap your hands and let's bless the name of Jesus. Uncle Albert. It's good to see you. God bless you. You may be seated. The apostle is in the house. I'm very happy to see him because I didn't think I was going to see him now. Amen. Tonight, I'm going to share a message with you. The title of it is Making Room for the Holy Spirit, Part 1. Making Room for the Holy Spirit. This is the first part of it. I'm envisaging that I will complete it next week, Wednesday, if Jesus tarries, and by the grace of God. And I want you to turn your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we are reading from verse number 4. Just to give you a little background of this church in Corinth. Corinth was a very important and wealthy Roman city in Greece at the time. And this church in Corinth, to whom this letter was written, was a church that the Apostle Paul himself started. And when he started the church, he stayed there about a year and a half, just building the church, setting up the structures and all of that. So what it means is that at the time when Paul wrote this letter to the church in Corinth, it was still a very young church. And usually when a church is very young, there are challenges that you would have in the church. And we will see some of the challenges as we move along. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 to 11. The Bible says from the New King James Version, please. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Verse 7 is a very important verse. I mean, all the verses are important, but I'm just trying to draw your attention to this verse. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Keep that in mind. Let's look at it again. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. the manifestation of the Spirit. Verse 8, for to one is given, so now it's describing different manifestations of the Spirit or different gifts of the Spirit. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. So that's a whole list of different spiritual gifts, and they are all manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I said amen. So the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is not just in speaking in tongues. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit is not just in healings. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit is not just in prophecies. There are different manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And it concludes here that but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. All right? So whatever gifts are given to individuals in the church, or whatever gifts you find at work in the church, it is not by the will of any man. It is by the will of the Holy Spirit. You can't force it. Amen. You can desire it. But ultimately, the decision is the Holy Spirit, what he's going to give you. So Paul wrote elsewhere and said, but desire earnestly the best gifts. But it's important to understand that it is the Holy Spirit who gives the gifts as he wills. Hallelujah. Now let's look at another scripture in 1 Corinthians again, chapter 14, verse 26 to verse 33. Now the heading I have in my New King James version of the Bible is order in church meetings. Order in church meetings. So now Paul writes and says, how is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. Edification means for building up, or for strengthening and encouraging. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two, or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there's no interpreter, let him keep silent in church, and let him speak to himself and to God. There are different types of tongues. There are tongues that are like prophecies in another language. That language may be an earthly language, a known language, or it may be a heavenly language or an unknown language. But if it is a prophetic tongue, usually there should be an interpretation to go along with it. So that's one category of tongues. But there's another category of tongues, which is a prayer language. And when you pray in tongues, you are not speaking to men, you are speaking to God. You don't understand what you're saying, God understands it. But if it happens to be a prophetic tongue, it will usually come with an interpretation. So take note of these different categories of tongues. Maybe one day we'll get deeper into that. So that's why he's explaining here that If you stand, we are having a church service, and then you stand up and you start mita bita shaita kaita saita bita tai, and you speak ha ha ha, and nobody is interpreting, sit down. Because amfa, it is not a tongue that is supposed to be interpreted for the edification of the church. So you sit down quietly and pray to yourself and edify yourself. Because when you pray in tongues, you are edifying yourself. Amen. It continues and says, verse 29, let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. So note that one of the purposes of prophecy is to teach us certain things and to encourage us. Next verse. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. In other words, if you have the gift of prophecy, God has given you the ability to control that gift. So you cannot say that I don't have control. All right? That's what it means by, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. So the spirit of prophecy does not take you over completely to the point that you don't have any control. That is why if you are a prophet, you must be discerning how you use your gift of prophecy. And God has given you the authority to use that gift and to use it responsibly. Amen. I said amen. All right. Verse 33. For God is a, can we read this verse together? Ready, go. All right. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Now jump to verse number 40. Can we read that one too? Ready, go. Let all things be done decently and in order. Read it again. And in order. Amen. Now, let me talk a bit about these verses that we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I gave you a little history of the church in Corinth. But there was also an interesting problem in the church. The Corinthian church was a very gifted church. Very gifted. They were spiritually gifted. So that is what Paul referred to in the earlier scripture we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But there was a challenge in the church. The church was organizationally immature. So very gifted spiritually, but in terms of organization, they were very immature. So then what used to happen is that they gather for service. Somebody starts speaking in tongues, then another person will pick it up, then another person will pick it up. Or somebody is giving a prophecy, then another person will also jump up and also start giving. I mean, total confusion in the church. So they were spiritually gifted, but in terms of organizing themselves well to have a service with order, they were very immature. And it was creating problems. So the Apostle Paul had to address the situation. Hence this letter that was written to them. Is this information helpful to you? All right. Good. Let's read a couple more scriptures, then I'll get into the main thrust of my message. Acts chapter 2, reading from verse 42. and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now, chapter 4 of Acts of the Apostles, verse 29 to 31. Now notice that, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. So there were wonders and signs and miracles in the church. And in verse 29 of Acts chapter 4, so after John and Peter had been used by God to heal the cripple who sat at the gate called Beautiful. That's when they met him there, and Peter asked him, "Look at us." And he said to him, "Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have we give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he held the guy by the arm, pulled him up, and he started walking and leaping and praising the Lord. Now, everybody was amazed at it, and they were summoned to see the leaders of the temple, and they drilled them. It's like, how did this thing happen? Well, Peter's self came very fully, and he gave a powerful sermon. So, afterwards, the people threatened them that they shouldn't do these things again, because they are bringing confusion and generating a lot of uproar in the city. So they forbade them to speak in the name of Jesus. So when they were released, they returned to the church and told them what had happened. And then the church gathered to pray. And part of the prayer they prayed was that, "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal." All right? They were asking the Lord to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. All right. Now, what I want to share with us today is very important, and it's important for us as a church. It has something to do with some conversations that I've had at different times with some of the pastors and church leaders of this church. And I think that this conversation deserves our prayerful and biblical consideration. So then, what were these conversations about? What was the concern? It is like, are we making enough room in the church for the manifestation of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit when we gather to have service? Are we making enough room for that? Another way of putting the question is it possible that our services are too carefully planned and structured and regulated that sometimes we leave very little room for the Holy Spirit to operate? Is it possible that that is the situation? Or another way of putting it, have we become so good at conducting church that we have forgotten to leave room for the Holy Spirit? So that is why I'm sharing with you on the subject of making room for the Holy Spirit. And I'm sharing with you based on these questions that have come up in one way or the other. Is it possible that we are too regulated in the things we try to do? And because of that, we are not making room for the Holy Spirit to operate. So this is a question that I want us to address starting from today. And as I said, it's a very important question. It is important for us as a church. So let me share a few truths with you as an attempt to answer these concerns that have come up. The first thing I want to explain to you and share with you is that God wants to be present and active when his people gather. Amen. God wants to be present and active when we, his people, we gather. He doesn't just want to be present, but he wants to be active in our gathering. So you will see that in the early church, when they gathered, God was not only present, but he was active. And you may think that the early church did not have order and structure, and that is why things like that happened in the church. But in the first scripture that we read in Acts chapter 2, 42 to 43, the Bible says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers." That's the first part of that scripture. Now, you see, that thing that is describing there is actually describing a church with structure and a church with order. It was not a free-for-all kind of thing. There was structure. There was order in the church. So they had teaching. That is order. They had fellowship. That was order. They had breaking of bread. They had prayer. And the Bible says that the people in the church were steadfastly continue. That means that they were very devoted to these things in the church. And they were devoted to these things because they were like structures and systems in the church. Hallelujah. So the early church was not disorderly. But alongside these structures and these things that were in the church, the supernatural activity of God was also present. Amen. Because the Bible says many wonders and signs were done, verse 43, through the apostles. And I like the sound of that. Many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. I'm fascinated by the word through. That the word there is not by, but the word there is through. Revealing to us that it is God who does these things through his servants. So always remember that. So there was order and structure in the early church. That is why, for example, when there was confusion about distribution of the daily needs of the church, because there was structure, people were appointed to take care of the distribution of food and make sure that everybody, whether Jewish or Grecian, will get their portion of the daily distribution. That shows you that it was a church with structures and with order. But the supernatural presence and power of God was also in the church. And the evidence was that there were signs and wonders and great miracles in the church. Then in the other scripture we looked at, chapter 4, verse 31, that when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Again, you see that the presence of God was there, the power of God was there. If you like, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit was there. Now, you see, the main thing that is being pointed out here is not the fact that where they were, the building was shaking. Okay? That should not be your main concern. Since then, I've not heard of any time where people had gathered in a church. I mean, if it happens, you know the way you are. You run away completely. You immediately start, hey, earthquake. Meanwhile, it is not earthquake. It's the Holy Spirit who is manifesting himself. But God knows the way we are. So some of these things, he doesn't do them too often. Amen. Yeah, for realize, Godfred will jump from his keyboard. And they will be running away. Everybody will run away and they'll forget that the pastor, okay, maybe I may also run as well. So the main thing in this thing is not that the building was shaken, but the main lesson here is that where they gathered, the presence of God was there. And not just that, but it looks as if they expected to experience the presence of God in their meetings. That is why when Peter and John returned to the brethren and they prayed, one of the things they prayed for was the manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit. They prayed for it, manifestation through signs and wonders. And they prayed for it because they wanted it and they expected it. Hallelujah. So with the early church, it wasn't just about conducting a church service and having a program and an order of service and all of that. It appears that when they gathered, they came to encounter God. Somebody say, encounter God. When they gathered, they expected the Holy Spirit to work. When they came, they expected lives to be changed. And when they came, they expected God to answer prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, there is an important lesson for all of us. And we need to get to that place also, where the leadership of the church and the members of the church, whenever it is time to have service, when we are coming to church and we are gathering in the name of the Lord, we should expect the presence of God and we should expect the power of God. Because sometimes we anticipate the presence of God, but we are not expecting that the power of God will be manifested in our midst. We are not expecting that the Holy Spirit is going to manifest himself in different ways in our service. As for the presence, we know that is there. But you must understand that the presence and the power of God, they work together. And in the early church, there was great expectation in the church. And I'm submitting to you that as a church, we must get to that place that every time we gather, we should expect that the power of God, the presence of the Spirit of God, will be manifested amongst us in different ways. Can I have an amen from somebody? Sometimes, and you've heard me say this before, that sometimes the reason why we may not experience certain manifestations of the Spirit of God is because we've gathered, but we are not expecting anything to happen. It doesn't mean that his power is not there. But it is possible for the power of God to be present, but nothing much is going to happen. And nothing much will happen because there is no expectation. Because expectation in itself is a manifestation of your faith. And that faith is also something that provokes God to move and to act. That is why in different parts of the scripture, you read statements like your faith has made you whole. So it's like your faith, you know, it moved the hand of God in a very mighty way. May your faith move the hand of God on your behalf. Amen. If there's something you're believing God for, have a lot of faith in your heart. And I see God responding to that faith and stepping in and doing that which you are expecting for you. Hallelujah. So there's a scripture that I've shared with you before just to explain this thing about how you can be in a service. The presence of God is there. The power of God is there, but nothing much is going to happen. Luke chapter 5, verse 17 to 25. It says, now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. There was a crowd, and it included Pharisees and teachers of the Lord. Now, can you read the next sentence with me, the last part of this verse? What does it say? And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. But nobody was healed. Up to a certain point, there was no healing recorded. Until what I'm about to read took place. Next verse. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, when he did what? So you can see that they had faith and they had expectation. They had faith and they had expectation. That is why they went through all that pain and effort to get their friend to Jesus. Because they had faith and they had expectation that when they get to this Jesus, something very powerful was going to happen to them. Oh, I pray that God will stir great faith and expectation in our hearts anytime we are coming into the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. He said to him, man, your sins are forgiven you. Next verse. And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? 24. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. What a great miracle took place that day. But I want to point out to you that this miracle, it took place because some people appeared with an expectation. There were a lot of other people there, but nothing happened. I am sure that there were sick people in that meeting before these guys came. Nobody was healed. I am sure that there were demon-oppressed people in that meeting, because wherever you have a lot of people gathering, by all means, some have demons. But there was no account of anybody being healed, anybody being delivered, any leper being cleansed, any dead person being raised. There was nothing like that there. Even though the Bible says that the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The only account we have of a healing taking place was when these guys appeared. And that healing took place, I submit to you, because they had faith. Because the Bible says, and when Jesus saw their faith, he responded to it. They had faith and they had an expectation. And that is why I'm explaining to you that it is important for us also as a church that when we gather, we must believe that God is present and he wants to manifest in our midst. Amen. And once we must have that mind, and we should have an expectation that there will be a manifestation of the power and the presence of the Lord in our services. Amen. So God wants to be present and active when his people gather. That's the first thing that I wanted to share with you. The second thing, the Holy Spirit does not just want to be present, he wants to work. Amen. The Holy Spirit does not just want to be present, he wants to work. Whenever we gather, like we've gathered today, and he's present amongst us, he does not just want to be present, he wants to work. He wants to work on our hearts. He wants to work on our minds. He wants to work on our bodies. He wants to work on our attitudes. He wants to work on our sicknesses. He wants to work on our problems. Whenever we gather and he's present, he does not just want to be present, he wants to work. So in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 7, It says, and we read that earlier on, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. The manifestation of the Spirit, that means the exhibition or the expression of the Spirit. And you can summarize that and say that the work of the Holy Spirit, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit. And ladies and gentlemen, when he's present, he wants to work. He wants to express himself. He wants to exhibit certain things. He wants to do certain things amongst us. Hallelujah. But, you know, the thing also is that sometimes when we talk about the presence of the Holy Spirit, it is as though his primary purpose is to help us to have a good service. That's all. But we don't realize that he actually wants to work and manifest himself in different ways. He wants to manifest himself through healings, through miracles, through prophecy, through discerning of spirits, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, tongues, interpretation of tongues. And he wants to manifest himself for the edification of the body. So ladies and gentlemen, we should not be uncomfortable with the manifestation of the Holy Spirit and with the operation of spiritual gifts in our services. We must not be uncomfortable with it. It's a good thing. It's an important thing, and we must encourage it, because he does not just want to be present. He wants to work amongst us. Hallelujah. And we should welcome the work of the Holy Spirit. But we must welcome the Holy Spirit biblically. Which takes us to the next point. Number three. And this is where we need to get things very straight. Order is not the enemy of the Holy Spirit. Order is not the enemy of the Holy Spirit. In other words, it is not as if where there is order, or where there are structures, or where things are organized, the Holy Spirit does not want to be there. So you can make the mistake of thinking that if you come into a meeting and there is structure, there is order, there is a schedule, the Holy Spirit doesn't like those things. Because sometimes when people make statements like, let the Holy Spirit move, let the Holy Spirit move, when such statements are made, it's as though they are saying that we don't need any program. We don't need to follow time. Let's forget about time. Because where the Holy Spirit is moving, you don't control the time. Where the Holy Spirit is moving, we don't need the program from this to that to that. You don't need all those things. Once those things are there, the Holy Spirit will not move. Or if the Holy Spirit is moving, everybody should do whatever they want to do. People should somersault all over the place. Somebody can just go and pick the camera and throw it away. People should roll over. There should be confusion and chaos. If the Holy Spirit is moving, that is what we must see. Now, when we talk like that, what we are suggesting is that wherever there is an atmosphere of order and control and things are regulated, the Holy Spirit is not present and he does not move. You are making a serious mistake. You are so wrong. Do not equate disorder and confusion with the presence of the Holy Spirit. That when you come into a service and chairs are flying all over the place, it means that today the Holy Spirit came. But then when you come to church and then nobody is rolling, nobody is shaking, nobody is vomiting, that day the Holy Spirit did not come. Where did you get that idea from? Are you understanding what I'm explaining to you? Yeah. Look at what the Bible said, we looked at it in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40. Let all things be done decently and in order. And Paul was referring to a church service. But in this church, there were spiritual gifts and there were manifestations of the Holy Spirit. So in essence, when you came into the church, you know, and I explained to you what used to happen in the church in Corinth. When they are there, no, this person will start speaking in tongues. Then another person will take it up. Then another person will take it up. Then somebody will start prophesying. Then another person will respond and start prophesying. Then somebody will say to us, stop what you are saying. It's my turn. I have to also let you understand what the Lord is saying. So these were the things that were happening in the church in Corinth. And the spiritual gifts were there. So when Paul was addressing the thing, the situation, he didn't say that, wonderful, that is how it must be. Anything goes. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So everybody should manifest and everybody should do what they are supposed to. That's not what he said. Instead, he brought order and explained to them that everything should be done well. So two of you, you say you have tongues, some tongues to speak. Take it one after the other. Let this one finish, then let the other one speak, and then let somebody interpret. Or somebody is giving a prophecy. If as is giving the prophecy, God wants to say something else, the one giving the prophecy should wait. Look, so you see, what he was trying to do was to take away the disorder and the confusion in the place. And it is significant. And it teaches us something. That don't feel that when you come to church and nobody is shaking and nobody is vomiting and nobody is manifesting physically for you to see, it means that the Holy Spirit is not there or God is not moving. You are so wrong. You are so wrong when you think in that way. And that is why we are explaining here that order is not the enemy of the Holy Spirit. Such that when you see order and regulations, it means that we are limiting the Holy Spirit. Well, that's not what it is. Hallelujah. So understand that order is biblical. Planning is biblical. Structures and systems in the church are biblical. Leadership is biblical. And time management, when you organize a service and you are trying to manage the time, it doesn't mean that you are being carnal. Time management is not equal to carnality. And having a service with a program, from this we move to this, we move to this, and don't tell yourself that it means that we are quenching the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. The problem is where our order does not leave room for the Holy Spirit. What do I mean? Let's have order. Let's have the service planned and drawn up. But if in the course of running the service, the Holy Spirit wants to do something, he should be able to do it. But don't say that it is because we have order in the service that is why somebody is not vomiting. So the only way we can see people vomiting and manifesting and doing all those things in the church is, let's take away order and regulations of the service. Let's take those things away so that when we can come, we can see somebody lying on the floor and rolling from one place to the other. And those things, they happen. And we should flow with whatever the Spirit of God wants to do. But get that thing out of your mind that makes you think that Once there is order and regulation of the service times, once you are trying to manage the service and time things well, it means that the Holy Spirit cannot work. The thing is that we must not be so rigid with our planning that when the Holy Spirit wants to move, he cannot move. Pastor James, pick a microphone and let me ask you a couple of questions. So we must have order, but we must not allow the order to control us. That's what I'm trying to explain to you. Let's not throw the order away and feel that once we have order, the Holy Spirit cannot work. I'm saying that let's have the order for the services, but we should be sensitive to whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do. Let's have a program. From this, we go to this. From this, we go to this. It is necessary. But the program should not control us to the point that we will not allow the Holy Spirit to manifest himself in any way. So the issue is not that the order is preventing the Holy Spirit from moving. The issue, therefore, is where we are so stuck to our order that we do not sense when the Spirit wants to do something, or we do not make room for the Holy Spirit to move. Am I speaking to some people today? All right. Pastor James, yes. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Come and stand by me. Did I ever speak to you and tell you that when I preach and after I'm done preaching and you have a prophetic word, what should you do?
I should draw your attention and flow with it.
I told you to do that.
Yes, yes.
That you should draw my attention.
Yes, we had that meeting at Shahills.
We had that meeting there.
Yes.
So what did it mean for you? That thing that I said, what did it mean for you?
It means that I can operate in my gift anytime that I want to. And anytime that the Holy Spirit wants to flow, I have the chance.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what I told you.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what I told him. He hasn't done it yet, but he has the license to do that. In fact, there are a few times when I preach, I look at him to see whether there's any sign or any signal. I am not a prophet. I'm not a prophet. But I want the different gifts of the Spirit in the church to manifest. And I told him, he didn't come to lobby for it and say, Pastor, I didn't do anything like that. I told him and gave him permission, a blank check, that if in the service I am the one preaching, but I am done with the service, we are praying or whatever, and he realized God has laid something on his heart and there's something that the church must hear. Just as the Apostle Paul explained that if somebody has a prophecy, he should release the prophecy. I told him that. And I told him that because even though we have order and we regulate the service and we are trying to manage the time, I am also, as the pastor of the church, open to whatever the Spirit of God wants to do. I don't want the order that we've set up to now control us, so that if the Holy Spirit has a word for his people, we say, Holy Spirit, muawano. Menkasa. Why? Neither do I want the fact that we have a program we are running to now have the program imprison us. So because of that, the Holy Spirit cannot manifest the way he wants to manifest. I'm talking about making room for the Holy Spirit in our gatherings. Have I explained things clearly to you? Yeah. So understand that this is a church that believes in the power and in the presence of the Holy Spirit. But the having believing in the power and the presence and the manifestations of the Holy Spirit does not mean that we should throw away order and systems and structures and planning and program and time management from the church. Because you're the same people. If we decide to do a free for all and we come to church and say that ene so be unfair yen kofi, so then we'll be here from 10 o'clock to 4 p.m. You the same people will start saying all sorts of things. So that's not the thing. You must understand what you are. Clap for our resident prophets.
And
last Sunday was a beautiful service.
Yes, Daddy. And I think anytime that you ask me to preach,
yes,
you always say something that, Charlie, flow. Even though we have time for the service, let's allow the Spirit, whatever it is, let's flow.
I told you
yes,
that.
Yes, you always
and
say that.
Every time anytime, you preach, yes, I tell you
yes,
that.
Yes, you always say that. Even this Sunday,
yeah,
you sent a message Sunday morning.
Yeah.
You said,
I sent a voice note.
Yes.
And what did
even
I say?
We'll close at 12, but Charlie, flow. Flow, cry.
Is that a problem? And I want him to manifest whatever gifts and abilities that God has placed in him. So you too, if you have certain gifts you want to manifest, we must see the gifts. Do you see? Yeah. But understand that everything will have to be done in order and decently. It's not like because I have said that to Pastor James, isn't he? Yourself has come fully. As I'm here preaching, no, maita shaita, baita kaita, zaita kaita, baita. It will happen once, I will accept it. Twice, I'll accept it. But you see, one of the gifts that I also operate in is discernment of spirits. And I also have a word of wisdom. There are times I may have a word of knowledge about it. These are all different gifts. Do you understand? So when people are doing their things, I should be able to tell that this one is a distraction. And don't, you see, that's why you need to be very discerning where the spiritual gifts are concerned. Because if you don't take care, and then you do not do it with the discerning spirit, we will have total confusion in the church. And we will create a major problem in the church. Especially if you take the lid off. And it's like there are no controls, there is no order, there is no structure, things are not regulated. We are going to have a serious situation like what was happening in the church of Corinth that Paul himself started. So now he had to address and say, hey guys, I feel the mabremo. Mabremo. Sorry, demona. Things must be done orderly and things must be regulated. Amen. All right. Then number four, we must never confuse control with order. So this is also the bit of it. We must never confuse control with order. What do I mean by that? You see, there's the flip side of it also. Where now you are controlling things so much so and saying that it is because you want to have order. So now there's so much control, and because of that, the manifestation of the Spirit cannot take place in the service. That's the flip side. And that is what I do not want to do in this church under my watch. Where there's too much control so that the Holy Spirit cannot move. But I also don't want the other extreme, where there's too much liberality so there's no control and no time management. Do you understand what I'm asking? Yeah. And then they'll tell you that if you come to church and you have a 2-hour service, it's not a proper service. Yes. You've heard things like that before. Yeah. That what serious thing can you do in it? So if you take our services, They are usually 2 hours. First 10 minutes, prayer. 40 minutes, praise and worship. 15 minutes, announcement, choir ministration, first offering. 40 to 45 minutes, the preaching of the sermon. Then the remaining time, maybe about 15 minutes to round up the service and to do other things. That is the order that we've set in place. But as the pastor of the church, I must make sure that I am not exercising such a control over the service that it does not make room for the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Neither must I be so liberal that I allow all sorts of things to take place, I mean, during the service. So a service that was supposed to end at 12 o'clock, yabot 3. We are still here. And we say that the Holy Spirit is manifesting. sorry. No, it cannot work here. But you see, yes, everything should be timed perfectly. But that's what I'm explaining to you. That I finished preaching. The next thing to do is to round up the service and go. But I must not be so rigid and controlling with that thing that if the resident prophet has a prophecy, and don't joke with this guy seated here. Don't joke with him. You see, as he's moving about easily like that, he doesn't have body. Do you see? The body will start coming. Be careful what you ask for. Today I went to the hospital and I had to stand on the scale and I was praying, oh God, let me not hit this number. I didn't want to get to 90 kilograms. Because the most part of my life I'd been around 57. Do you see? Yeah. So 90, there's something about that figure 90. I don't want to get there. So when they checked, I was significantly less than 90. And I was very, very happy. And the nurse told me that it's not bad. Do you see? She checked my sugar. Said, oh, my sugar is very good. I said, tonight I'll eat ice cream. Challenge easy for us. Because when you are getting to a certain age, you are always controlling this, regulating. Do you see? It's like the service. You can be so controlling that you don't allow the Holy Spirit to do what it's about. So if we are having worship time and somebody has a prophecy during the worship, why should the prophecy not be given? Why not? Why shouldn't it happen? And if I am preaching and God gives a prophetic word, me, I will not stop it. My first reaction, of course, I would discern what is going on. But it will not be my default setting that once the person starts, I say, ashes, carry him out of the church. No. I must discern what is happening and I must be open and I must allow the Holy Spirit to move. I must not be so controlling that if the Holy Spirit wants to manifest, he cannot manifest. Have I explained something very powerfully to you? Yeah. Amen. So, it shouldn't be like, Charlie, our worship time is finished. No prophecy. Can you don't come and prophesy at this time. There should not be anything like that. We should be open to it. But I'm explaining to you that there must be a balance. There must be a balance so that things can be done orderly and decently in the house of the Lord. So we should be able to say that, Lord, we have planned today's service, but you are the Lord of the service. And whatever you want to do, go ahead and do it. Hallelujah. So this is the first part of my sermon on making room for the Holy Spirit. I pray that you have learned a lot of things and you understand what the stand of this church is. Is that not so? Yeah. So we believe in the presence of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we do not want to clamp down on the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in our service. And as we go on and on and on, as I explained to you earlier on, don't say, because that is also an error, that because somebody did not somersault 27 times, or you didn't see anybody wriggling like a snake and all of that, it means that God did not show up in the service. Understand that spectacular things, let me explain this way, that don't tell yourself that for something to be supernatural, it must be spectacular. There are a lot of supernatural things that take place when we gather in church like this. When a person comes to church and his or her life is transformed, it's a miracle. And the greatest miracle is the transformation of a person's life. One of the things that fill me with great joy is not when somebody comes to tell me that you prayed for me and I was healed. But when the person comes to tell me that my life has been transformed as I came to church and received the word, that fills me with so much joy. Because one of the things I've noticed that sometimes people who manifest a lot in their service, anybody comes, they are falling down, they are screaming and everything. So it's like Benny Hinn came, you fell down. T.D. Jakes came, you fell down. Bishop Oyedepo came, you fell down. Ajin Asare came, you fell down. One could see every time, so when will you stand? And every time you are manifesting, I thought the baby sound said, the men are wearing Juma. You know, so let's understand spiritual things, the miraculous, the supernatural, and all of those things. And by the grace of God, we will go deeper into this next week, Wednesday. Have you been blessed? All right, rise to your feet and let's pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We are grateful to you for today's service. Thank you, Father, for speaking to us. We are committed to making room for the Holy Spirit to move amongst us when we gather. Holy Spirit, you are here with us. And Lord Jesus, you are Lord of this church. You are the shepherd of the Shepherd's Fold Restoration family. Have your church, manifest in your church, and do what you want to do to the glory of your name. We will not stop the manifestations of the Spirit, but we will make sure that things are done decently and in order to the glory of your name. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.